He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, June the 17th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. What did Jerome Powell say yesterday? It's called Fed speak. See, they have to try to talk in code, I suppose. But we'll do our best to read between the lines. I would say if there was one thing that changed, he turned from a dove to a hawk. Okay, and that's why you're seeing the sell-off in the Dow yesterday. And the Dow continuing to sell off a little bit today. But you know what? That Dow's getting real close to its support level as it continues to go through a correction. That's what I see this as, a correction, and I'll explain why during the show. So what do we have here so far on this Thursday? We have the Dow down 145 points. Now that works out to 0.4%. It's at 33,875. It's about 1,000 points off of its all-time high, maybe something like that, 3 or 4%. Continuing to go through a correction, but getting awfully close now to its 50-day moving average. The S&P 500 is down 5 to 42.19. The NASDAQ is up 34. Okay, NASDAQ doing best of all. Not seeing a lot of trends yet. 14,071. Small caps down a little bit today. The crude oil market's down 23 cents to 71.92. Little sell-off in the commodities today. Gold, for instance, down $77 per ounce to $17.84. Big sell-off in silver, down 0.6%, down $1.61 to $26.20. The 10-year, well, we're up about 6 basis points since Powell spoke. We're at 1.55, and Bitcoin continues to slide, down 768 to 38,512. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, money manager for the last 21 years and behind the microphone here for the last 21 years, writing a newsletter for the last 21 years. I'll be polishing that thing off today. I will be going through Fed speak and what it means for the markets going forward in this week's newsletter. You can get 2 free weeks of my weekly newsletter, in-depth weekly newsletter. It's my internal research. It's the research I do every week to force myself down every tributary of the economy, from interest rates to commodity prices to bond yields around the world. The biggest factor of all, earnings. In real estate, it's location, location, location. In the market, it's earnings. And the direction thereof, and also the anticipated direction, the earnings forecast. That's what we really focus on in the macro outlook. Now, I'm having a few people write to me, is this the big one, Bill? Is it time to go to cash? Well, I answer that question every week. I am a market timer. But having said that, I have been pretty much fully invested over the last, since 2009. So that's 12 years. I've grown cautious a few times along the way. And I went full in last March of 2020. When everybody thought that the pandemic would turn into a global, plague of some sort. Well, that was not correct, and the last year has been fantastic. From February to February was terrific, March to February, actually. And then it all came to a screeching halt, and it's been pretty difficult sailing since then. There's a lot of cross currents wondering what the Fed will do. There's big changes, in monetary and fiscal policy probably coming. you know, just as a guy who watches the market, you know, it seemed like when Trump was president, almost every day the futures were up a couple hundred points. All right. I'm just telling you my observations. And since Biden has been president, we had a very good January. We had a pretty good December, and then it's all come to a screeching halt. And every day it would seem like the futures are down 100 points or they're flat. We've just got a really, really flat trade in the market going on right now. Maybe you can chalk it up to vacation time. We'll see. Okay. This is the heart of vacation here in mid-June, and I think there was a lot of pent-up demand for folks to go back on vacation. So the Dow is in a little bit of a correction here. The Dow has been outshining the NASDAQ since the beginning of the year, really since February. But then the NASDAQ, you know, went through a very healthy correction. The high speed area of the NASDAQ, the high PE, high price to sales, high price to book value, ARC funds types of stocks went through about a 30 to 35% correction. You can look to Tesla as a proxy for that group. Pretty good proxy. That's one of ARC's biggest holdings, about a 30 to 35% correction. Well, I haven't gone through a 30 to 35% correction. I made some big changes. I saw a big shift away from the high-speed stocks into the low-speed stocks, the low PE, the low price to sales, the low price to earnings types of stocks. And they went on a nice run, and now they're going through a correction, but not a 30 to 35% correction, maybe a 5% correction. 10 at the most, and the Dow seems to be getting very close now. We're about 350 points away from the 50-day moving average. I would expect the Dow to go back into rally mode once it gets there and maybe test that for a week or so. In the meantime, I think the watchword right now is patience. You know, there's a lot of times you just have to be patient in the market. You can't make something out of nothing. You can't make things happen. You just have to be patient. So it comes back to that macro view. Where is the macro view? Where's your macro view? Well, I'll be updating my macro view of the market, and that helps me make the big decisions, the overall big decisions, like, is this the big one, and is it time to go to cash? I'll answer that question in this week's newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. 2 free weeks of my internal research, all the portfolios, what's in them, what changes I've made, what new buys I've made, what sells I've made, etc., and the performance thereof. Well, the Dow was down 265 yesterday at one point. I think that's about where it ended. There was a sharp rise in bond yields. We went from 1.48, we went up about 6 or 7 basis points yesterday to 1.55, and we're holding steady today. But the Fed signaled 2 rate hikes in 2023, and that was the news. I think there were 2 parts of the news that affected the markets, and there will be winners and there will be losers by what we now know, the new facts we know from Jerome Powell. 2 rate hikes in 2023. That's what they're signaling. However, he did not leave out the possibility of a rate hike if inflation gets too hot. And that was the other change. The Fed was not did not seem to be too worried about inflation over the last several months, as we've seen some pretty hot prints in the CPI, the PPI, commodity prices rising, oil prices rising, lumber prices rising, food prices rising, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The Fed did not seem too worried, but now all of a sudden they seem to be worried, okay? And he backed off a little bit from his transitory, this is just something that will pass very quickly. I did not hear that yesterday. So what can we expect going forward? I think we can expect higher interest rates going forward. That does not bode well for bond funds. That does not bode well for interest-sensitive types of investments, okay? Utilities, real estate investment trust, bond market, debt. These are all very sensitive to interest rates. I would say it's not good for the housing market. These are the types of areas and the sectors of the market that won't benefit, but in fact be hurt by rising interest rates. What sectors of the market will be helped by rising interest rates? Well, two sectors really stand out. The one that stands out the most would be the financial sector, and I saw it yesterday. After the Fed announcement, I saw a lot of the financial stocks moving higher, while the utilities and the REITs and the bond market and the bond funds moved lower. There's a major clue going forward. This is Bill Gunderson. More on that when we come back. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market pretty much holding steady here. Dow down 150. NASDAQ up about 50. I think tech does okay in a rising interest rate environment. Usually that means there's pretty good growth going on. But I think you have to buy value tech, okay? I don't think you can pay up for some of these really highfalutin, high-flying tech stocks that are trading at astronomical types of multiples. I think it's also important to differentiate between owning individual bonds and owning bond funds, okay? When you own a bond fund, you're at the mercy of interest rates. You're not holding those bonds to maturity. Now, yes, if you own individual bonds, your portfolio is going to rise and fall with interest rates, but the idea is to hold those bonds to maturity. And, you know, you'd be surprised at the results, the performance of our individual bond fund that we created with an idea that I don't know that it's ever been tried in the bond industry, but we buy bonds based on our Best Stocks Now list. If we find that a Best Stocks Now also trades a bond, it's a pretty small list. It's a very select list. Netflix would be an example. When it was a Best Stock Now, we also bought the bond. And the bond has done very, very well. Now, I've started to include the bond fund in our weekly newsletter. You look at the performance of that, okay? Now, you think about it for a minute. There's a lot of people that are very risk-averse, and there's a lot of activity moving towards alternative investments, which supposedly are disconnected from the bond market, uncorrelated. But a lot of them are correlated. You know, I find that, you know, they used to preach that the non-traded REITs were not correlated to the market. Well, that's because they weren't pricing them. Of course they're not correlated if they're going to stay at the price you paid for them. But then the SEC came along and said, hey, wait a minute, you got to price these things along the way, I think quarterly. And people found that they trade in lockstep pretty much with the publicly traded REITs. Well, I did a lot of studying. I wanted something that was non-correlated to the stock market for the risk-averse, for the nervous folks. I understand being nervous about the markets. And I feel like buying a bond in a company like Netflix, I don't think it's going away, and holding that bond to maturity and getting back what you put into it at the end, you know, your principal is pretty safe. You're looking for principal protection. It's not 100%. If you want that, you stay in cash, and then you're at the mercy of inflation. Or you buy a CD. If you want to step it up one notch, you buy individual bonds. You have a chance for capital appreciation, which we've seen some very good capital appreciation in our bond fund. Get the newsletter and check out the results since inception of the Best Stocks Now bond fund, which currently holds about 10 bonds. And we're buying a new bond today that we found. That will be in the newsletter this weekend. If you'd like to get a 2 free weeks of the Full Monty, Whole Enchilada, Gunderson's internal research, along with his portfolios that he runs, you can go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, and get 2 free weeks of said newsletter. Now, individual bonds, if you're going to hold them maturity, you don't have a whole heck of a lot of worry about the interest rate environment out there. But a bond fund is not the same kind of animal. So I would strongly recommend that you put together your own bond portfolio of individual bonds with the thought in mind of holding them to maturity. Now, a lot of them, we had one called this week. We've owned it for 2 years. It got called. A lot of times they'll call one at a higher rate and they'll refinance at a lower rate in a falling interest rate environment. So anyways, take a look at our bond fund in the newsletter. It's individual bonds. We do price it every week. Also in the newsletter, we show you what we've owned. We show you how each bond is done. You'd be surprised at the capital appreciation that we've achieved using this methodology with no guarantees going forward, but we'll continue to use the same methodology. Okay, I mentioned technology stocks. I think they're okay in a rising interest rate environment, but I think you need to watch valuations. I think last year were the days when people and investors would look the other way at a 200 PE ratio and a PEG ratio of 4.5. You know, the Teslas of the world, good example. I think you have to pay more attention to valuations here in 2021 and going forward into 2022. The financials, on the other hand, are a sector that benefits from rising interest rates. It gives them more margins. Insurance companies, you know, insurance companies own big bond portfolios, and they have not been able to make very much money on their bond portfolios because they've had to accept very low interest rates. Well, now that environment is changing, and insurance stocks, actually, I know it's exciting, but guess what? There's best insurance stocks now. Every sector has its best stocks now. That's where the Best Stocks Now app comes in handy. You can go to the insurance sector, click on it, and it will list the top-ranked insurance stocks. Now, when it comes to taper, he really didn't talk at all about, he really gave no clues other than we haven't started to talk about it. Scott Minard at Guggenheim says, well, maybe they'll start talking about tapering at the August meeting, in the September meeting, and they'll announce it by December. Well, they continue at the same pace. They continue at the same pace that they have been at buying bonds and expanding their balance sheet. They have been selling equities, so a lot of equity. Well, mostly it was bond ETFs, I guess. They're getting rid of a lot of their bond ETFs, but they're still buying individual bonds. Bitcoin got hit hard on the Fed's newfound inflation concerns, and so did gold. You would think gold would have had the opposite effect, that the newfound inflation concerns would have the opposite effect. Well, I think eventually it will. I think just yesterday and today maybe there's a little sell-off in the risk trade, which would include Bitcoin, which would include gold. But I think you're going to see gold get a little perkier here as inflation continues and the Fed becomes a little more hawkish as opposed to dovish. All right, so we do have a couple of rate hikes out there on the horizon. And that horizon is becoming a little bit clearer. We're looking at maybe 2 rate hikes at the beginning of 2023. And guess what? We now have earnings estimates for 2023 on the S&P 500. What's more important, the timing of those rate hikes or the earnings estimates on the S&P 500? Hands down, the S&P will trade on those earnings expectations. It's already priced in. 2 rate hikes 2023. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now. And welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks Now. Markets improved a little bit here. The Dow's now down 120, and the NASDAQ has improved, too. It's about up 96 right now as it closes in on its all-time high. Consumer stocks also do fairly well, especially consumer discretionary, not so much consumer staples. Because rising interest rates usually mean a pretty strong job market, people working and spending. Okay, and what do they spend on? Restaurants, clothing, discretionary types of things. So the real sectors to focus on here, in my opinion, the financials, number one, they benefit the most, especially banks. Also lenders, too, insurance companies, also part of that financial sector, I suppose, insurance sector. And definitely the tech sector benefits, does okay in a rising interest rate environment. I think the consumer sector also. And, of course, I think you can do well buying individual bonds. You're going to have interest rates starting to go up, and you might be able to pick up some decent. We really hunt. I mean, we don't find a whole lot in that bond fund. We're very, very picky and selective. And like I say, you'd be surprised at how well that's done through capital appreciation since we started it. And that will be, I've added it to the newsletter. You can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. And now you'll be able to see the individual bonds we own in our bond fund. And I found a stock this morning that I'm pretty excited about. When it comes to technology, I'm not going to give this one away because I'm going to be buying it here later today. All my live trading subscribers will be getting this one in a bit. It's a small cap tech stock. But what I like about it, very strong chart. And from a valuation point of view, it's trading at 17 times forward earnings, high teens. The market's trading at almost 23 times forward earnings. This one's trading at 17, and it's expected to grow by 23% per year. That's their earnings growth over the next 5 years per year. 17 into 23 gives me a PEG ratio of less than 1, 0.74. This is on my buy list after the show. But, man, you know what? I've been at it since 6 a.m. this morning. I've put in 4 hours so far, and it yielded one new buy. That's the way it is right now. You got to uncover, you got to look under a lot of rocks to find stocks that fit the criteria that I'm looking for in this current market. Treasury Secretary Yellen says the economy is well on its way to a robust recovery. Well, you know what? I would just say, let's not forget that Jerome Powell is an outsider in this administration. What makes him an outsider? He was appointed by Trump, and he's a Republican. So I would say that really driving this bus of fiscal policy for sure is Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. And I got to believe that really as it relates to monetary policy, even though the two are supposed to not be connected at all, I got to believe she's got a lot of say. She's the one that's been paving the way recently with jawboning, saying, oh, I think higher interest rates would be good for the economy. That's what she's been saying. And now all of a sudden Jerome Powell is finally pinning it down on when we may see a couple of rate hikes early 2023. Initial jobless claims. This is a little disappointing. We went up. Well, that should be coming down. With the shortage, come on. With the shortage that is out there, I go into restaurants where 3 or 4 people are running the whole restaurant. And everybody I ask at any retail outlet I go into, I say, how you doing these days with staffing? They just roll their eyes and say, well, we're doing the best we can. In the meantime, it took 45 minutes to get my salad recently. That was a week ago. Maybe things have improved since then. Who's filing jobless claims right now when there's a record number of job openings? That's what I want to know. 412,000 people file jobless claims last week. Maybe they're just sick of getting back to work, like staying at home better. I don't know. 360,000 was the consensus, Crude inventory draw tops estimates. Okay. As we've been talking about sectors that should benefit in a rising interest rate environment, well, I would say that the top sector in the market right now continues to be the oil and gas sector. There continues to be more demand than expected. The demand has increased faster than expected. People going back to work, people going on vacations, people getting going to the airport and flying off on trips and whatnot. Even business travel starting to increase again. Crude inventory draw tops estimates. Well, every week, you know, they know what the inventory is, whether it goes up, whether it goes down. There's times when we have a glut. Usually backs up in Oklahoma at the pipelines, but not right now. The draw is topping estimates. That's driven oil to $72 per barrel, with even a few, a 10% chance, according to the futures, of oil hitting $100 per barrel by the end of the year. Well, that continues to be a robust sector. We have some exposure there for the first time in a long time to the energy patch and the oil and gas stocks. I kind of like the smaller ones, but I've seen pretty good action in the big dividend payers. Total Equity out of France, 5.5% dividend yield. ExxonMobil, about the same dividend yield. Chevron, maybe about a 3.5% dividend yield. Pretty good sector right now. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla says life will return to normal by 2022. Well, his company came up with one of the big vaccines that helped us get back on track. Look at that. The Dow down only 93 right now. We got a rally on our hands, maybe. We'll see. The CDC data shows adult vaccination rates slowing as a large percentage remains unvaccinated. Now, where are you on that scale? Did you run out and get your vaccination right away? Are you hesitant? Are you worried about getting the vaccination? As of this morning, 55% of adults 18 years of age and over are fully vaccinated, according to the CDC. That's in the U.S. So just a little bit over half. And, of course, Biden has a goal of getting two-thirds of the world vaccinated by the end of the year. That's an aggressive goal. The rate of vaccination has slowed considerably as the U.S. hit a 50% fully vaccinated rate. 146,000 Americans are fully vaccinated, with 313 million total doses administered, because you got to have two doses. And, of course, the BioNTech Pfizer vaccine has been authorized for people as young as 12 years old. Many states have even rolled out incentives, contests, prizes to get holdouts vaccinated. I don't know. I don't think a stuffed animal or whatever they're giving out is, if someone's afraid of getting vaccinated and a little worried about what they're putting into their body, I don't know that that's going to get them. But we'll see. We'll see. Okay, by mid-April, November, reach herd immunity in 2 months. That's what they're saying right now. CureVac plunges as Bill Gates-backed biotech below par efficacy for COVID-19. I guess Bill Gates is better at Windows than investing in vaccine companies. His CureVac, which was backed by the Bill and Melinda. He's having a bad year, Bill Gates. He's leaving Melinda. That's got to be costly. And this has got to be costly. How much did he invest in CureVac? Ah, he's got money to burn, that guy. Public Citizen demands removal of top FDA officials over the Biogen Alzheimer's approval. You know, that's been a controversial one. That thing was turned down several times by the FDA. Some are claiming that someone's palm was greased over there. I don't know. Several of the FDA members have resigned over this. In the meantime, you got a 70-year-old guy going to be the first person to take this drug from Biogen. Well, a lot of controversy there over this Alzheimer's treatment. All right, well, we'll come back with our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Gold down $81 per ounce. That's kind of surprising. You would think that it would react positively to rising rates and inflation kind of coming back into the picture here. The Dow down 127 now. It's kind of a roller coaster ride there. And the NASDAQ up 94. Okay, well, I'm going to go with a value tech stock. I think tech stocks will do okay in a rising interest rate slash inflationary environment, anticipating a couple of rate hikes in 2023. But having said that, I think value technology is going to do better than this high-growth, nosebleed, highfalutin, high PE, throw valuation out the window, much like the year 2000. I don't think that's the way to go. So we'll go with the stock that I currently own in my ultra-growth portfolio. It's companies in the news today as they reported earnings. They exceeded earnings estimates. The stock's up a little bit. It's up 1.2%. It's a small cap, $8.5 billion out of St. Petersburg, Florida. I'll be right in that neighborhood next week, St. Pete, Florida. Bet you didn't know that, did you? You had a publicly traded company in your backyard called J-Bill. The symbol is JBL. They're a contract manufacturer of electronics for the aerospace, automotive, computing, consumer, and medical industry. That's good. Very diversified across a lot of sectors. They've been growing at a rate of about 14% over the last 5 years, 14% per year. They currently have a P.E. ratio of 11. The S&P 500 P.E. ratio is 29. So you've got a stock that's trading at a much, well, contract manufacturers tend to trade at lower multiples, but that's an extremely low multiple. In addition to that, their price-to-sales ratio is about as cheap as it gets, 30 cents on the dollar. Less than one, well under one. This is one of the lowest price-to-sales ratios in the entire market at 0.30. Hence, I give it the value technology stock designation. Forward PE is 10. The estimated five-year annual growth rate, the consensus right now is 18. I'm just going to verify that on, yes, 18, that's what it is. Okay, so if you divide 10 into 18, you also get a PEG ratio that's well under 1. In fact, it comes in at 0.60. You get a little dividend, a half a percent. The stock gets a value grade of A. It gets a momentum grade of B+. It's currently ranked 175 out of 5,846. Now, this is not a sexy, exciting LIDAR on a chip. Velodyne LIDAR. This is a contract manufacturer. Designers of chips and electronic parts bring the specs to J-Bill, and J-Bill builds it for them. But it's been a very solid business, a very solid stock over the years. And in this type of a market that is kind of holding its nose on some of the high PE, high price to sales. Oh, there's some exceptions. I'm surprised to see how well Shopify's been doing recently. Tesla was the most expensive stock in the market. That crown, I think, has been handed off. That baton has been handed off to Shopify, which I made a lot of money in last year. But that current valuation on Shopify is just astronomical, unbelievable. And it continues to perform pretty well, however. I just can't buy a stock like that at this stage of the economic recovery, which has been going on for 13 years, really, the earnings recovery from that last bear market. And let's not forget, you might say, well, you can't time the markets. Well, you can't time the short-term gyrations, that's for sure. But the last bear in 08 took 53% out of the S&P 500 from the top to the bottom. I tried my best to protect your backside, too. If I see something like that brewing out there, what will be the biggest sign of something like that brewing? Earnings expectations. That's why I track them every week. Earnings expectations of the S&P 500 stocks. And, of course, I look at technical patterns. Sometimes trouble starts showing up first in the technical patterns of the market. Am I seeing trouble show up? Yes, in some areas. And I go through that every week in my newsletter. I give lessons on technical analysis every week in the newsletter. And I do my own technical analysis of all the major asset classes, maybe a dozen or more. That's also important to know where they're at technically. That's all in the newsletter that I'll be working on feverishly today. You can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. Now, in the meantime, looks like we're filling up for our visit next week to Sarasota. I'm sure there's still a little room at the workshop on Wednesday night at the Grove. I'll be there. 6:30. We'll start seating people. Should be done by 8. That's my bedtime, 8:15. I got to be in bed, you know, and have my milk and cookies before I go to bed. And I'll be there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday meeting with folks along with the Sarasota office. You need to get to know those folks in Lakewood Ranch. They're there to serve you. They're there every day. You can go in. How's my portfolio doing? Where's Gunderson? He hasn't been here for a while. Well, you know what? They got 3 people, 4 people that man that office, that staff that office in Lakewood Ranch. Beautiful office. And you can set up an appointment there. You don't have to meet with me while I'm down there. Maybe you'll be back in November or whatever when it starts to snow in Pennsylvania. You can go set up an appointment at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Get this week's newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody. Be back tomorrow.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.